during the lesson. Rav, please.
This is also a special article, really like all of the Shamari articles. It explains to us how much we can measure ourselves to somehow denote to ourselves what is the state that we're in our work, and by what can we weigh how much we're making efforts, how much we're advancing, and how much we're not. Because the Creator, there's a reason why He says, I've created the evil inclination. His intention is not that we will remain in the evil inclination, but rather that through the evil inclination that resists our work, that we will get a feeling and an understanding of where we are with respect to Him, in order to reach Him, to identify with Him, to reach His place, His degree. And therefore, how do we weigh it? How do we measure it? How do we measure our advancement each time? Are we advancing more, or is there a regression? So, this article explains that to us, so please, we will talk about it later on.
The writings of Bala Sulam, the article of Shamati 15, what is other gods in the work? It is written, you shall make no other god over me.
Yes. That is, on the one hand, there is a possibility to do that, that there is something that is opposite the Creator. And opposite the Creator, it's only the evil inclination, our ego, that is hindering us in all of the different cases. So, you shall make no other gods over me, means that there is the Creator, the quality of bestowal and love coming out of above one's ego, the person's ego, and there is the opposite state. There are no more than two states. Either you belong to the Creator or you belong to the opposite thing, to our will to receive. Yes?
The Holy Zohar interprets that there should be stones to weigh with.
Even stone comes from Havana, understanding. So how, with understanding, with attainment, with a feeling. At first we feel, and later on we can give our feeling all kinds of degrees. So how can we weigh it? Yes?
He asked about this. How is the work weighed with stones by which one knows one's state in the ways of the Creator? He replied that it is known that when one begins to work more than one is used to, the body begins to kick and object to his work with all its might. Since regarding bestowal, it is a load and a burden for the body. It cannot tolerate this work. And the resistance of the body appears in a person in the form of foreign thoughts. It comes and asks the questions of who and what. Through these questions, a person says that all these questions are certainly sent to him by the Sitra Acha, the other side, to obstruct him in the work.
That is, a person thinks that indeed he has two forces before him, and if he wants to somehow to advance, to reach Lishma for her sake, to reach in order to bestow, to reach connection with others, well, he doesn't quite want that, but he sees that he has to do it, because by this he will advance toward the purpose of creation. However, for him to have another force that obstructs him from advancing in this way, that he wasn't thinking. And so when he discovers that there is a force that truly stops him, blocks him, pulls him backward, then what happens?
It says that if at that time one says that they come from the Sitra Achra, one breaches what is written, you shall make no other gods over me.
That is, that we must not say that the forces that are obstructing us from reaching Lishma in order to bestow connection, something spiritual, that these forces come not from the side of the Creator, but rather they also, these forces come from the side of the Creator. And they come in order to obstruct us. However, this is called help made against him. This is what Kabbalists call our will to receive, the evil inclination, that even though it appears to us as opposite, however, it actually gives us discernments and degrees and understanding how to advance correctly. That is, even though it is opposite, however, it is also help. And this is something that we have to understand. Yes?
The reason is that one should believe that it comes to him from the Shekhinah, since there's none else besides him. However, the Shekhinah shows one his true state, how he is walking in the ways of the Creator. This means that by sending him these questions, which are called foreign thoughts, meaning that through these foreign thoughts, she sees how he answers the questions regarded as foreign thoughts. In all of this, one should know one's true state in the work so as to know what to do.
Mm-hmm. That is, these things come to the person specifically in order to aim him more correctly in a way that's more, he's more directed toward the purpose of creation. Even though it seems to the person as though it is hindering him, it stops him, it confuses him, he grows weaker, and he doesn't see in that the help from above, but rather it's actually an obstruction.
It is like an allegory about a friend who wanted to know how much his friend loved him. Certainly, when face to face, his friend hides himself because of shame. Therefore, he sends a person to speak badly about his friend. Then he sees his friend's reaction while he is away from his friend. And then one can know the true measure of his friend's love. The lesson is that when the Shekhinah shows her face to a person, meaning when the Creator gives one vitality and joy, in that state, one is ashamed to say what he thinks about the work of bestowal without receiving anything for himself. However, when not facing her, meaning when the vitality and gladness cool down, which is considered not facing her, then one can see his true state regarding the aim to bestow. And if one believes that it is written that there is none else besides him, but that the Creator sends all the foreign thoughts, meaning that he is the operator, he certainly knows what to do and how to answer all the questions. This seems as though she sends him messengers to see how he slanders it, his kingdom of heaven. And this is how we can interpret the above manner. One can understand this, that everything comes from the Creator. For it is known that the beatings that the body beats a person with its foreign thoughts, since they do not come to a person when he does not engage in the work, But these beatings that come to a person in a complete sensation, to the point that these thoughts smash his mind, they come specifically after preceding Torah and work more than usual. This is called stones to weigh with. It means that these stones fall in one's mind when one wants to understand these questions. Afterward, one comes to weigh the purpose of one's work. If it is truly worthwhile to work in order to bestow, and to work with all his might and soul, and that all his aspirations will be only to hope that what there is to acquire in this world is only in the purpose of his work to bring contentment to his maker, and not in any corporeal matter.
This is how he should weigh it, what he feels, what he receives, what he sent each time in his mind and in his heart, new emotions and thoughts. Yes?
At that time begins a bitter argument, since one sees that there are arguments both ways.
It's as if one time he's pulled ahead, another time he's pushed back.
The writings warn about this: you shall make no other gods over me.
That is, if there is another force other than the Creator who is doing the opposite work.
Do not say that another God gave you the stones with which to weigh your work, but over me.
Ela, Adam tzech ladat shezeu pchinat panai.
Instead, one should know that this is considered over me. This is so that one will see the true form of the basis and the foundation upon which the structure of the work is built.
Yes, that only in that he sees how much he has within him for and against forces and thoughts that are for the advancement, against the advancement, and how does he arrange himself in being between the two of them, then he can see his true state, and he can measure how much he is drawn to in order to bestow to the purpose of creation.
The main heaviness in the work is primarily because there are two texts that deny one another. On one hand, one should try that all his work will be to achieve dvikut with the Creator, that all his desire will be only to bestow contentment upon his Maker, and not at all for himself.
That's, on the one hand, he has to see that actually this is how he should be directed to that extent, towards adhesion according to the equivalence of his relations with the Creator. And two,
on the other hand, we see that this is not the primary goal, since the purpose of creation was not for the creatures to bestow upon the Creator, since he has no need for the creatures to give him something. On the contrary, the purpose of creation was due to his desire to do good to his creations, meaning for the creatures to receive delight and pleasure from him. These two matters contradict one another from one end to the other. For on one hand, one should bestow, and on the other hand, one should receive. In other words, there is the matter of correction of creation. One, which is being to achieve dvekut, adhesion, discerned as equivalence of form, meaning that all his actions will be only to bestow. And two, afterward, it is possible to achieve the purpose of creation, which is to receive delight and pleasure from the Creator. Hence, when one is accustomed oneself to walk in ways of bestowal, one has no vessels of reception anyhow. And when one walks in ways of reception, he has no vessels of reception, of bestowal. Thus, through the stones to weigh with, one acquires both. Since after the negotiation he had during the work, and when he overcomes and takes upon himself the burden of the kingdom of heaven in the form of bestowal in mind and heart, it causes him that when he comes to draw the upper abundance, since he already has a solid basis, that everything should be in the form of bestowal. And even when one receives some illumination, he receives it in order to bestow already. This is because the whole basis of his work is built solely on bestowal. This is considered that he receives in order to bestow. As foreign thoughts.
A foreign thought is considered foreign because it wants to pull the person into the line that he's following in his life. If now I'm thinking about business and suddenly I get thoughts about having some fun time, then the thoughts about the fun time are foreign thoughts with respect to the business. That is clear. And it's the same here. If I'm doing spiritual work, as much as I am doing spiritual work and I feel that now thoughts come to me that do not support the spiritual path, the spiritual advancement, then I accept them as foreign thoughts. However, here it talks not about the fact that foreign thoughts come. Of course they come, but rather, what do they come for? How can we use them in order to invert, transform these foreign thoughts specifically to ones that are correct and good for advancements? Because the Creator doesn't create anything redundant in the whole of creation, but rather everything depends on how we use it.
Раф, еще один, если позволите, вопрос.
If you permit, one more question. I also wrote, in the end he writes that the danger is the abundance that we receive from the Creator. What's that?
Summary?
The risk of doing anything that we can do and receive for ourselves?
Our whole development is in order to reach complete adhesion with the Creator. The complete adhesion is not that we disappear inside of the Creator, but rather that we, in receiving, in order to bestow, everything that He bestows, we are capable of receiving it in order to bestow back to Him. That we receive only in order to bestow to Him, and by that we identify with Him in our intention, in our inclination, in our thought. That as much as He wants to bestow to us, so we want to bestow to Him. This is actually the summary of our work. To that extent, what do? We reach a state where we exist in it like the Creator. His whole pleasure is from bestowing to us, and all of our pleasure is from bestowing to Him. And then we exist in the same state as Him, which is the greatest state, the most important, the
Perché i pensieri, le forze opposte al lavoro che si rivelano nell'uomo?
Why are the thoughts and forces that are contradicted to the work that are revealed in a person? Why are they the basis to the work?
Because through them, when we have one thought and opposite it, we have the same thought, but in the opposite manner, one kind of work and opposite it, something that hinders it, then we can weigh how much we're advancing. Because we cannot measure anything unless if we have something that is opposite it. The created beings exist in a state where they have to always incorporate two opposite forces, and they exist in between these two opposite forces. This is how they feel their life, this is how they feel their advancement, in which direction they can build a thought, a desire to establish themselves only at a time that they exist in between two forces, two opposite phenomena. Try to think about it. Try to see this in our life. If we didn't have any resistance, if we don't have resistance in something, we don't feel it. A single phenomenon, a single force, we cannot feel it. We can feel it only when there is something opposite it. And as much as there is, in between these two forces, relations of for and against, then we feel in between this and that. If I exist only in darkness or only in light, I cannot detect anything. But only when there is a contrast, differences between darkness and light, then I can distinguish between them, and out of that I can perceive a certain form. And this is how it is with all of our other senses, the corporeal ones and also the spiritual ones. This is nature. This is how we are built. Where does it stem from? It stems from our soul, that we have five senses in our soul, root 1, 2, 3, 4, and then we have sight, hearing, smelling, taste and touch, 5 also, and we live in them. We feel in them, for and against, good and bad, black and white, bitter and sweet. This is how we exist in between them. If you will take away all of these differences so that we will not have such differences in us in each and every sense between the plus and the minus, let's say, then we lose our sensation and we cannot feel where we are. Do we even exist?
Something. So Article 15 from Shamati, you shall not have another God in the work. Meaning that there is a creator, and there's a tendency from the side of man to do something other than what the creator puts before him, as if there's someone else there, another source that manages man. Then the Zohar interprets that there need to be stones by which we weigh them. And this is not clear what this is. A stone is understanding. So by which understanding can we learn the Creator and probably from opposite things? It always comes from a thing in its opposite. That's, but through these, we can learn what is happening here and so on. He asks, how is the work weighed with stones? Yes, meaning through understandings, through differences between the two forces by which one will know one's state in the ways of the Creator, so that a person knows where he is, meaning from now until the end of all of our work, the end of correction of our work. Through all the corrections, we can, by measuring correctly our work, to know where we are. This is a known thing, that when a person begins to work more than what is accustomed to, here the main word is more than one is used to. Then the body begins to kick and object to the work with all its might. Since regarding bestowal, if a person doesn't add to his work, then the body doesn't resist. And to the extent in which one adds, we feel the resistance. Since in the matter of bestowal, it is as a weight and a burden, a load and a burden for the body. And he cannot tolerate this work of bestowal. That's how the will to receive, the egoistic will to receive, feels that way. And the resistance of the body, of the will to receive, appears in a person in the form of foreign thoughts. Meaning all kinds of thoughts come of how to throw this burden from myself, and I feel, well, what can I do? And the body comes and asks the questions of who and what? Meaning, who is the Lord that I should listen to him, and what is this work for you? Without that, one does not leave Egypt, as we learned, but from under the control of the will to receive. And through these questions, a person says, through the questions of who and what, that certainly all these questions are sent to him by the Sidracha, not the Creator, but rather it seems to us as if there's some foreign force. Why is it coming to me this way? In order to obstruct him in the work. And then, if a person says that they come from the Sidracha, then a person breaches what is written, you shall make no other gods over me. Meaning, despite the fact that it comes from the Creator, a person thinks that it comes to him from the Creator, from another place, not from the Creator, that there's someone bothering him here with this, that I want to advance to the Creator, and there's another additional force, even in me, that is there, not outside of me, that is contradicted to the Creator, and the way it's bothering me, it's truly obstructing me, and I need to dispel it, and it's best if it would not rise. And that's already the essential main mistake a person makes, that he thinks that the disturbances that come along the way are those that want to deviate him from the path and not necessarily to advance him specifically. A person doesn't understand that specifically through his overcomings of obstacles, he will advance in the right way. This is the most important thing to know, that advancement on the path is to overcome obstacles, that these disturbances are those that aim him to the purpose of the path, towards the purpose of creation. Meaning, an obstacle is not an obstacle. It helps him understand and feel and establish himself correctly towards the goal. Therefore, the attitude towards obstructions, even though each time a person is not satisfied with them, that's why they're called disturbances. And yet, each time he needs to establish himself correctly. I am thinking incorrectly. I need to relate to them as they're called a help against him. Yes? So Baal HaSulam explains onwards. And the point is that a person needs to believe that these obstructions come to him from the divinity, from Shekhinah, from the Creator himself, since there's none else besides him. But the Shekhinah shows one his true state, how he's walking in the ways of the Creator. Whether right or wrong, in order to aim him in a more precise and correct way, the obstacles come his way, where he sees them as deviations from the path. We cannot advance if we don't feel that we're deviating. Then also the line that we're advancing with, seemingly, who knows that it's correct? The path, the systems of navigation all work on each time showing us how much of a deviation we are towards the true line. Yes? Let's say, how do gyros work? How everything, even compasses, where each time we're measuring ourselves relative to the true line. The true line here in spirituality, we don't know. It's a line of bestowal. So each time we are shown where we are in deviation from the line of bestowal, more and more. If we're advancing on the path, then each time we need to raise a higher resolution, a higher way that we can see the intensity, the extent in which we're deviating from the line of bestowal. Hence, anyone who's greater than his friend, his inclination is greater than him, and the bestowals, the influences seem greater. And it's correct. That's how it needs to be appearing to us. It's a sign of advancement. It's like from a little baby, you don't see mistakes in him. Everything's done for him. It's all completed for him, in place of him. But the more we grow, we say, no, not this, you need to do this and that. And it's like we don't agree. Why all of a sudden I'm not allowed to do everything for myself? Everything used to be done for me, everything was fine, and now they're showing me that I'm doing, no one said anything about doing anything incorrect, and now, even if I make a little mistake, it seems to me, for a child, and already I'm told that you're not good, that you're not okay, meaning each and every time, we are in increasing scrutiny, increasing critique of the disclosure of our mistakes, and higher and higher precision and meticulous engagement. And that's how we have to do this. Otherwise, we will not reach the exalted goal that we have. Yes? Yes? So I'm going back to this paragraph. And the thing is that a person needs to believe that this comes to him from the Shekhinah, from the side of the Creator, since there's none else besides him. However, the Shekhinah shows one his true state, how he is walking in the ways of the Creator. More correct or less correct. And by it sending him these questions, all kinds of who and what, and where am I and what's with me, which are called foreign thoughts. This is the who and what, these two questions. Meaning that through these foreign thoughts, he sees how he answers these questions, which he has in life, which are regarded as foreign thoughts. And for what am I alive? Why am I alive? What for am I alive? What will I get from it? And so on and so forth. And all of this, one should know that from this he will know his true state in the work, in the spiritual work, so that he will know what to do. Therefore, without the foreign thoughts, a person loses his direction. He doesn't know how he's directed? Where is that north? Where is the pole towards which we measure ourselves of where we are? So I must know, relative to holiness, relative to the Creator, where I am. And therefore, each time, and it's like we're flying in an airplane in some place, or sailing in the sea, or going for a stroll in the forest, we need a compass. Same way, we need on our spiritual path a compass. And this comes to us through the feeling of divinities. From the correct state. And what is the deviation? Through those foreign thoughts, which we feel not to here, and not to the right, and not to the left, so we, if so, advance in the right way. And this is very similar to an allegory, meaning, how do we get these foreign thoughts? That one friend wanted to know how much his friend loved him. And certainly when face to face, he hides himself due to the shame. Therefore, he sends a person to speak badly about his friend, to slander him, not nicely. Then he sees his friend's reaction, where he agrees with the person that talks badly about him or not, while he is distant from his friends. And then he can know the truth, the measure of his friend's love. The lesson is from this, that when the Shekhinah shows her face to a person, which means that the Creator is bestowing vitality and joy to a person, in such a state, one is ashamed to say what he thinks about the work of bestowal without receiving anything for himself. Because the Creator is showing him that this is the truth, and a person surrenders, he seemingly agrees to it. Whereas, if it's not in her face to face, where he doesn't feel that he's in the presence of the Creator, meaning when the vitality and gladness cools down, then a person can see his true state in order to bestow, whether he's in order to bestow or not. And if a person believes that it is written that there's none else besides him, that all the foreign thoughts are sent to him by the Creator, meaning that the Creator is operating only, certainly he already knows what to do, meaning that he must, despite what he has here, to overcome and adhere to the Creator in all the possible means. And how to answer all those questions which all come from the Creator, and therefore, despite all these questions, he needs through them to once again come closer and hold on, grip on the Creator, where it all depends on him, and everything needs to be specifically connected to him and adhered to him. And it seems as though this Shekhinah, meaning the Creator actually, is sending him messengers, just like a person sends a messenger to someone to know what he really thinks about him. And that's how the divinity sends messengers, to see how he slanders it, about his kingdom of heaven, his malchut. And this is how he can interpret the above matter, in as much as he receives its care, that is all the good, that the Creator is good, that does good, no matter what I feel. And if I feel in some way not good, it's a sign for me that I need to change. Just like in a compass, where I turn myself until I feel myself as in the good that does good. Meaning all our states that we feel in life are only in order to give us the right direction towards the Creator. Where if I turn myself in the thought and understanding that I'm in before the good that does good. And this is the source of my life. And this is how I feel him, despite the fact that I don't feel it that way. Then I need to correct myself and to try in faith above reason to feel that I'm in the good that does good and that there's none else besides him. And then all the foreign thoughts, yes, which I feel and which I understand only aim me more correctly to the Creator. That's what the Creator does before us. This is how he creates the path before us and helps us grow this way, to be more and more understanding and feeling him upon all the obstructions specifically. Where as much as I aim to him above these obstacles, I become more adhered to him and understand and feel this system. Because altogether, what is it that I am pacing upon here? Upon my egoistic desire. And then I join into the adhesion to the Creator, my egoistic desire. The avyut, the coarseness. And this is how I build my partsufim along the way, where I am more and more resembling the Creator. We're continuing onwards. And one needs to understand that everything comes from the Creator. Because it is known that these beatings, the bitushim, in his heart, in his mind, where the person beats a person, where the body beats a person with his foreign thoughts, the body meaning the will to receive, yes? Since they do not come to a person when he does not engage in the work. But these beatings that come to a person in a complete sensation, to the point that these thoughts smash his mind and come specifically after preceding Torah and work, which is more than usual. Meaning to the extent in which a person wants to add with his work more, then he feels these disturbances more. But he doesn't understand. He needs to understand that these disturbances come in order to aim himself in a more and more precise manner to be aimed to the Creator. That is how our advancement is. Write down questions and later we will check. And that way, otherwise, each with his question deviates everyone from the line that we're going here. And these guidances, these aims along the way, which we receive seemingly in our lives from all kinds of forms, from all kinds of corners in life, with our family, in the work, in the street, and the main thing is from ourselves, from our own heads, from our hearts. This is called not that it's our against. This is called the help against him. That is how our desire to receive is called. That despite the fact that we can say that it hates us, it loves us. It helps us come closer to the Creator and to guide us specifically, directly to him. And this is called weights for measuring with, by which we can weigh and discern our path exactly. Meaning that these stones or avanim, or havanot, or understandings, thoughts, that a person wants to understand these questions which come to him and fall upon his mind. And then he goes to weigh the purpose of his work with these thoughts these foreign thoughts that bother him, whether it's truly worthwhile to work in order to bestow, or is it best for me to come off of this path and then I'm not willing. A person doesn't understand that these disturbances come to him so that he will specifically advance, where as much as we advance, we will have even greater disturbances in order to guide us in a more precise way to the goal. If it's really worthwhile to work in order to bestow, and each time he has that same question, and to work with all his might and soul, with all his mind and heart, and that his whole essence will be only to hope that there's what to acquire in this world. That's how he feels, and that it's only for the purpose of his work in order to bestow contentment to his maker, and not in any other corporeal matters. This is actually what he feels, that this is what's constantly deviating him from the path to all kinds of little pleasures, thoughts, confusions, that somewhat, and if he pays attention to the extent in which he's capable of keeping himself through this by the group, by the prayer to the Creator, then in that he's willing. And to the extent that he's not ready yet, but he nevertheless is shown where he is, to what extent he's deviated, and how much of this deviation he can join to the path, to the goal, and how much remains for him that he cannot cover these disturbances and to join them to in order to bestow, even though such thoughts come his way and such desires as well. So here is the work of man, to nevertheless, when there's a deviation from the path and he needs to close this gap of the deviation. And this is how we begin to understand that without the influence of the environment, as Bala Sulam writes, without the influence of the environment, we are not capable of joining thoughts and desires that are foreign to our path. We ourselves are not capable of a thing. And then a sharp argument begins, where he sees that there's an argument both ways, meaning which way will I go? And the writing warns us here, you shall not make no other God over me, meaning that you shall not have one that is greater than me, the Creator says. Yes, that will define for you this path, this life. And do not say that another God gives you the stones, all the obstacles with which to weigh your work, but over me. Instead, one should know that this is considered over me. And this is so that one will see his true form of the basis of the foundation upon which the structure of the work is built. That everything comes from the Creator only, there's none else besides him, and that's how we need to relate to all the disturbances and to understand that it all comes from the same source, that you will have no other God with other sources for your life, and this is how you will take them also to your work, and specifically upon them you will advance. Specifically through these deviations, through these disturbances, you will be able to aim yourself in a more precise manner to the goal.
Ve'ikar ha'kvidut she'yesh be'avodah
And the heaviness in the work is primarily because they are two texts that deny one another, meaning that we have here always a thing and its opposite, two things that are in a contradiction between them. Which are they? What are they? One, that on one hand, a person needs to try for all his work to be in order to achieve adhesion, dvikut, with the Creator, for all his desire to be only to bestow contentment upon his Maker, and not at all for himself. That's on one side. And on the other hand, we see that this is not the primary goal that a person needs to bestow to the Creator, since the purpose of creation was not for the creatures to bestow upon the Creator, since He has no deficiency for the creatures to give Him something. On the contrary, the purpose of creation was due to His desire to do good to His creations, that the Creator wants to give the creations, and not that the creations will give Him. That's why it does not belong to His desire for us to give Him, fill Him, meaning for the creatures to receive delight and pleasure from Him. That's the purpose of creation. For creatures to be able to be willing to receive and to be filled with all the abundance the Creator wants to give. And through these two matters, these two things that contradict one another from one end to the other. On one hand, one should bestow to be similar to the Creator. And on the other hand, one should receive to be opposite the Creator. And when there's a matter of correction in creation, one which is to achieve dvikut, which is equivalent of form, being that all his actions will be only to bestow, and two, it is possible to achieve the purpose of creation, which is to receive delight and pleasure from the Creator. Meaning there are two things here that we need to understand, that we need to correct ourselves, but our correction is in order to receive from Him. We're coming into equivalence of form with the Creator, where we want to adhere to Him. And then how can we resemble Him? Only by me doing an opposite action that I want to bestow to Him, so receive from Him. That's why we need to correct our vessels of reception in order to bestow to Him. I need hungry in order to come to my mother and delight her, that I will eat at her house with a great appetite, with hunger, and with joy, and with them all the pleasures, and I will also enjoy it. So I need to correct myself that I want to enjoy and delight my mother, for her to enjoy me, on one hand, and on the other hand, I need to be myself, and to receive in the big will to receive what she is giving me, what she prepared for me. And then in those two opposite things of receiving from her and to give her, I can really come to her and for there to be a connection between us, adhesion, equivalence. And we will fill one another. I fill her with my deficiency. She fills me with her filling. But all together, we are filling one another with our intentions, which connect, and then between them, you can feel the love, the complete love. Two directions, and bidirectional. That's called I for my beloved and my beloved for me. Hence, I'm continuing with the text. Hence, when a person has accustomed himself to walk in ways of bestowal, then he has no vessels of reception anyhow. And when he walks in ways of reception, he has no vessels of bestowal. Meaning there's a problem here that Our intention needs to be in order to bestow. Our vessels should be in accordance, vessels of reception. Hence, through the stones, the avanim that we weigh with, it includes both together. Meaning that by us receiving a deviation each time, and how we have to advance, where we are being shown where we're not okay, through that we acquire and the understanding of what the relationship needs to be between the intention in order to bestow and the desire to receive. And to the extent to which we can compose the, instill the desire to bestow upon the desire to receive. And then we can directly discern and aim ourselves towards the goal, each time in correcting that deviation. Each time. There's a lot of work in this, even though in advance, if we look and we want to identify where is this deviation. So, therefore, through the stones to weigh with, which we try to see to the extent in which we deviate from the path, he acquires both together. Both the bigger will to receive and the intention in order to bestow that is greater. In accordance with it being longing to the will to receive as it covers him fully. Because after he does the calculations and the efforts that he had during the work, and while he resists, he receives upon himself the burden of the kingdom of heaven and bestowal abovewards, as we talked before. This causes him that when he comes to draw the upper abundance, since he already has a solid basis, that everything needs to be in order to the form of bestowal. Hence, even when one receives even some illumination, he receives it in order to bestow. And this is because the whole basis of his work is built solely on bestowal. And this is considered that he receives in order to bestow. It's a very high degree. It's a high degree because we're with you rising from here to the Ein Sof. In some degrees, yes? We have a state that we make a preparation. After the preparation, we come to tzimtzum, to restriction.
Tzimtzum Aleph.
The first restriction. Tzimtzum Aleph.
Tzimtzum Arishon.
The first tzimtzum, the first restriction. And then we work in order to reach the quality of Bina. This is our Malchut. This is the manner of Bina to which we come to. And this is all the form of bestowing in order to bestow, this whole period of time. To bestow in order to bestow. These are all vessels of bestowal, meaning they're working in the coarseness, the avyut of 0, 1, and 2. We reach the degree of Bina. And we will learn this in the introduction to the study of the Ten Sefirot. We will learn that this is called a righteous that is incomplete, where his transgressions become errors and so on. That's the degree of Bina. And then we reach the goal, which is already Keter.
Keter.
Keter, to receive in order to bestow, which is already the aviyut, the coarseness of 3 and 4. Working with the will to receive in order to bestow. In this way, we correct ourselves, and this is in Keter, the end of correction. And the whole path is nevertheless, each step along the way is by us being in a certain state, and always we are shown the state of advancement in an egoistic manner, ego, our ego, and the true form of in order to bestow. And we need to always close this gap between the ego and the creator in order to be, in order to bestow. Each time. We need each time to locate this deviation and correct it. And by what can we see and increase and understand better where we need to work? Here, these things we can locate by the group. By the group. Therefore, each time we can do more. Just like he says that behind every friend, the Creator stands. So here we can aim ourselves to the group, and in this way, eventually reach the Creator. But here we can also see the extent in which it's important to us in the ego, if it were not to appear, if the Creator wasn't in the, I've created the evil inclination, then I would have no ability to correct ourselves and aim ourselves towards Him, towards the Creator. And each time we discover somewhat the extent in which we deviate relative to the Creator. Because the Creator Himself we can never see, but rather the evil inclination already shows us our state towards the Creator. It doesn't tell us that this is the true form of bestowal. No. It shows us how, to what extent we're not in true bestowal. And this is how through this we can each time correct ourselves. We will work on this. All ahead of us, it's not a problem. And slowly, slowly, we are advancing, and not slowly. But we should just understand from this the importance of the will to receive and the extent to which it works in contradiction with the Creator, and therefore it's called a help against Him. And without it, we would not be able to aim ourselves towards the purpose of creation and the Creator. Which is why we need to see it.
As Rabash says, to kiss the stick, that's how we advance. And on the way, the evil angel becomes the good angel. And there is no bad in the world, there's only good. And all the bad that used to be, we now see it was created only for us to differentiate between the Creator and something outside the Creator. And then what's outside the Creator gradually disappears, and what remains is only none else besides Him. That's the goal. So only by the deviations, by the disturbances on the path that we have, by these stones that we use to weigh in the work. By that, we can ultimately come to adhesion. Okay, one more.
What practical work should we do in the tent in order to recognize that the disturbances come from the Creator to overcome them?
We mustn't forget and always remind to each other that there's none else besides Him. In everything in life, anything that happens to the person, until he comes to a state, as it's written, all my bones shall say, meaning that there's nothing in the human body or the world or the spiritual world, doesn't matter who and what, there's only one force that operates. That's it. This is basically our entire work, to always feel ourselves belonging to one force, and we're doing everything so that not just that we are in it, we rather want to be reciprocally connected to it, meaning that we are in equivalence of form with it. It bestows to us, and we want to bestow to it. We want to arrive at such a feeling that what he feels in bestowing to us, we want to achieve the same sensation towards him. What does it mean to bestow? To bestow full force. What does the Creator feel? What does he think? That's what I have to discover. And that means achieving adhesion with the Creator. And then we come all the way to his degree. The Creator is not the true upper force, but rather the degree of the upper force that is connected, that is directed at us. There's also degrees above that, above that degree of the Creator, because the Creator is simply the degree of come and see. And that's what we need to achieve. And what's above that, that's already the higher roots of the upper force. Then in the meantime, we don't learn and don't attain. Who knows? Maybe after what's called the 6,000 years, after the final correction, we'll marry to the 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th millennium, and something else, I don't know.
If I may, I'll try again. All of the expansion on the Patsufim is calculated in the Rosh, right? Nothing happened in the Guf before there's a decision in the Rosh. So the question is, where, at what state, or in what Rosh of Nekudot the Sagar, where is the decision made and when of the second restriction?
Of the second restriction, also in Rosh of Sag. After it expanded the first time, yes, it continues to take care of what it's got. It's the upper one. So, of course, it divides itself to Nekudot of Sag, also belong to Sag, as you can hear from the name. And so the Rosh of Sag is responsible for all the Paltzufim that belong to it. Sag has many Paltzufim. So what? And of course, there cannot be any action in spirituality that wasn't decided on at the Rosh. So after these Paltzufim expanded, Nekudot of Sag, Rosh of Sag restricts these already existing Paltzufim. Yes, because they were mingled with the Reshimot from Galgalta. the records of four level of coarseness influence the vessels of reception in Sag. In Nehi of Sag, the lower part of Sag, there are vessels of reception. They are called womb. It's like in a woman, that she has something that belongs to the lower one. And these vessels will therefore now be restricted. In order for an embryo to happen there, to develop there, for that, more corrections will be needed. What corrections? Bina begins from being restricted. She has to grow, herself. It's like a little daughter that grows up until she can become impregnated. She has to first grow until a certain age, what we call bat mitzvah. And then she'll have corrected nehi, and they'll be as a womb. But not in the meantime. But these vessels exist. However, it's just forbidden to use them. So, that's it. So there's something new here, that it's the first time Patsuf changes after it already emerges. With regards to the first restriction.
I don't think so. I don't want to go into all these things. There's so many details you don't even know about, and you are taking the things you don't know and you're like putting them all together. No. But it's good. Think, even if you're mistaking, it's okay. It's also not a mistake. It's from lack of knowing the things, because there's a lot of details in this. Ita one.
Buongiorno, Rab.
Buongiorno.
Rab, io volevo continuare questa domanda perché non mi è chiaro come
Malchut. I wanted to continue the question because it's not clear to me how the Malchut acquires discernments to reach the middle of Tiferet and make the second restriction. What causes the Malchut to rise to the middle of Tiferet and make the restriction?
The lights of Bina expand from Sag downward, from the Tabul. You can say that these lights expand in Nehi de Galgalta. That Sag can add these vessels in order to fill them, and here, that's why I stated it in the light of Chassadim, that Sag wants to fill Nehid of Galgalta. To the extent that it does fill it, it also feels that there's the fourth phase of coarseness. In what vessels is that felt? That except for vessels of bestowal, they're also vessels of netzach hod yesod malchut, that they are vessels of reception. Even though it's in bina, these vessels aren't working as actual vessels of reception, but receiving in order to bestow. It's vessels of Bina. But still they are vessels of reception, like the womb in a woman. That's what I said. Like something extra to Bina. Because Bina itself, it's Galgalta Enayim. It's only vessels of bestowal. But in order to bestow to others, she needs to be in contact with them, with the lower ones. That's why she also has vessels of reception. But in order to connect to the others, in order to give to them. Let's say the others want something. So also in the Ima, there has to be the same desire that they want. Otherwise, she won't be able to understand them and won't be able to supply them what they want. That's why she has to be included of the vessels of reception of the lower ones, but only included, incorporated in them. Meaning it's not her own desires, but in order to bestow to the lower ones, to understand them, to feel them, Those are the vessels of reception in Bina. Netzachod Yesod Malchut. That's why on these vessels we say that because right now we're not allowed to use them like Nehi de Galgalta, so in them Nehi de Galgalta bestow their desires and these vessels become restricted. You can't use it. And in Bina, we're remaining with only Galgalta and Enayim, vessels of bestowal that are cleansed from any will to receive. And the will to receive in Bina, even though it doesn't receive for itself, there's still the will to receive. It's restricted. And there's like an extra restriction. To the restriction that was in Malchut of Ein Sof, because now it's restricting Bina. That's why it's called Tzimtzum Bet.
Tzimtzum Bet.
Tzimtzum Bet, second restriction. Or restricting the Nehi of Nekudot of Sag and Tzimtzum of Neidak. It doesn't matter, there are a lot of names. I don't understand you. I think that if you want to receive even more knowledge, you should go to the preface. Which one?
They can go to KabbalahMedia.info. There's a clear button there with all the series that you can watch. Yeah.
So that's where you have to study it. Here we can't stop because these are things that are the most difficult for beginners. And every time I explain it, we bump into this. Because if it's the first restriction, clear, will to receive, clear. Now Bina starts, the will to bestow, the connection between them, it's always a problem. Always a problem. And also, what comes next, there will always be problems. If you want to understand it more, you have to go there and learn about it. There's a good translations, I think drawings, right, Dudi?
Everything's there, yes. Drawings, explanations, and dozens of lessons.
Yeah. I don't have the forces to keep doing this. I'm just going through it a bit so we have like a mutual language between us. But actually, I'm not about to get stuck in the preface and not in tests. These are things that you have to invest years in, and they don't belong to the inner work. As much as you study it, it's like saying knowing how to call the angels in the heavens. That won't help you do the spiritual work and how to attain it, how to attain the spiritual goal, how to realize ourselves. No, it's worth learning it, but actually, Rav Ash always said, open the book wherever you want and start reading. Try to understand. Yes, yes, no, no. There's the light that reforms in it. But not that the knowledge is what's going to help a person becomes spiritual. No. And it's written about that. It's not the wise who study.
Good morning, Rav. About what you said in relation to studying Pticha, so Baruch Shalom writes in item 155 that from the great desire and longing to understand what we learn, we draw the light that reforms. So there is something good about people now researching and trying to know what you're saying.
I am not stopping you, please. I've learned for many years the entire preface and tests and Zohar. We translated it to languages. of course, but not that from you knowing something, whether exactly this or not, what's in the books, that this is going to give you attainment. That's what I want to say. And also Baal HaSulam writes, only from the big longing, the desire, and to know means to connect. In the, when it says that Adam knew Eve, to know means to connect. And not from knowing in your external brain. That is worthless. And it's written.
But
study. I'm not saying not to. Study. But just so you know, it's not the wise one who studies.
So where is this boundary?
The boundary is in the goal. In the goal, that if you study in order to draw the light that reforms, so the light is important for you, the light that reforms. So you want to correct your desire, your soul. But if you're studying in your mind, it's, if you want to fill your mind, it has nothing to do with the desire. It's the egoistic desire that wants to know. I met many people who only want to know. I was like that myself. And I studied in such a way when I came to Rabash. Don't study. I'm saying you can study. But as much as you do, you'll see that it doesn't help you understand your state. Why not? Because the heart understands. It's through a feeling. Never through the mind alone.